Thy will be done. I've got a question for you. When you pray this phrase, what are you really praying? Thy will be done. Are we praying, what is your will, Lord? That's a nice one. We're praying our faith and our trust in God, aren't we? Anyone else? What are we praying when we pray, Thy will be done? Pardon? I'm releasing to God. The one whom we just said is our Father in heaven. Confidence that will is being done. God's working out His will, His way, His plan. Submitting to His authority. Ooh, those just sort of like, as I was told, don't, you know, when you pet the cat, go in direction of the fur. Submitting to God's authority, that just sort of runs counter to our fur. Ever thought about that? We have a tendency to say, Lord, bless our plans and give me green lights and a parking place up front. So what does it mean to pray, Thy will be done? Major choices, spouse, job, major purchase of a house, car, you know, those big ones. But what about the daily choices, the day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, choices in the middle of life? What does it mean to pray this when we're talking about healing? I've heard it prayed a lot. Lord, if it's your will, heal. Financial provision. New pastor for New Cumberland Church of Nazarene. What does it mean? Thy will be done. Well, thank you. Vanjie, you nice runway. Good. You did well. Thy will be done is a prayer of submission to God. All these things have been said. In its simplest form, Thy will be done. Now, our tendency is, we've sort of placed this in that bigger phrase, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And our tendency sometimes is to give this wide, big, generic, that God's will become the way things are done in the world. Problem is, that sort of conflicts with some statements of Jesus that says, this world is under the dominion of whom? Oh, wait a minute. Thy will be done. Everything's going to be done the way... Oh, scripture. Jesus himself, John chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 2. This world is under the dominion of Satan. And Jesus, read his sermon about end times, latter part of the book of Matthew, says things are going to get worse and worse and worse. Worser and worser and worser. Right? Study it. When you begin to look at the plan of God, Thy will be done starts at the heart of every woman and man who places their faith in God as their God. Not just belief that God exists, submission. Total, complete submission. Sort of goes like this. as it goes grassroots. First there's two, and then there's four. Then there's eight, then there's 16. Then there's 32, then there's 60. And then my math sort of gets sort of crazy from there. But, you know, exponential expansion starts in the hearts of individuals. The kingdom of God never comes from government officials down. It always comes from the grassroots hearts of individuals up. Always, 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 always. Study the scripture, look at history. Always there. Always a reality. Thy will be done. Total submission to God. I identified it last week. Three major aspects of God's will: to care for and enjoy His creation, to be holy people. Holy people are people who belong to God, who worship God from their heart, single-hearted, undivided devotion to God. Holy people. We belong to God first, foremost, everything we do. Billfold, checkbook, calendar, everything. Holy people. Love one another. Live in harmony. God's will and plan. Here's the truth. God's will is lived out in our daily lives in the midst of a world dominated by evil. He never promised it would be easy. He only promised strength for today. Always. So Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, Your will be done." St. James advises us to pray, if it is the Lord's will, we will. Realizing we don't know what tomorrow holds. Five soldiers going into a recruiting office in Chattanooga, Tennessee this week. Had no idea that they would be their last day on earth. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know. So there's always this matter of choice. God, the sovereign Lord, created human beings with the capacity to make choices and assigned to us the responsibility for those choices. We choose every day. There's a point of submission in our lives, surrender to the authority of God. But we affirm that every day in our life, thy will be done. The scriptures are very clear. The purpose of the Lord's day, the Sabbath, is to be reminded that the Lord is God. God knows that we're people with finite minds that forget where we're at. Choice. In the Church of the Nazarene, major statement of faith, we believe that the human race's creation in God-likeness included the ability to choose between right and wrong, and that thus human beings are made morally responsible. Choice. Choice. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him, choice, will not perish but have eternal life. Choice. Jesus taught the final judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it. Choice. For fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right, choice, come to the light so that others can see that they are doing what God wants. Choice. Choice. choose this day whom you will serve. Let me just make a statement that's going to just rub wrong. We all submit to someone or something as God. The question is, who or what? You say, well, I just follow myself. That means you've set yourself up as your own God. Hang on to that one for a while. It's going to come back not to be so nice. We all choose. Oh, I appreciate our history and our tradition that talks about a place of choosing to turn from our sins and make Jesus our Lord, repentance and being saved. But from there on, there are daily choices of how we're going to live that out. Choice. Two stories in the scripture illustrating responsibility of choice. You say, how could it get too different? Well, hang on, you're going to see it. One's the story of Adam and Eve, one's the story of Jesus. Now, in these two stories, there's six common threads. They're holy as their stories begin. Adam and Eve, created to live in daily relationship with God. Holy. They were given purpose and instruction. They are tested. They make choices. They experience consequences of those choices. And they leave a legacy from the choices. Look at the stories. Adam and Eve, created holy, granted all God's creation for their life and joy. Garden of Eden, two people, harmony with God, harmony with each other, harmony with creation, harmony with self. Can it get any better than that? Instruction. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you will die. You can argue about that one from now till doomsday. Why did God do that? He knew we would do it. He knew we're there. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Cool your heels. Said God to the man Job, where were you when I created and designed it all? Who do you think you are? You can gum that question and look for an excuse, but that's the way God did it. And if that's the way God, the Creator, wants to do it, guess how it's going to be? Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you do, you will die. And then there's test. Translation in the message. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. That's a big test. You'll know everything. Choice. They disobeyed. Again, the message, an interesting paraphrase. When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything. Sound familiar? So she took, ate the fruit, then gave some to her husband, and he ate. Whether you want to treat this story poetically, there were some other issues, or literally, the process is all the same. The consequences are the same. The choice is the same. So you can gum it as long as you want. This is what happened. And there was a consequence. Again, the message. Immediately, the two of them did see what's really going on, saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. Then Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent for the choice and disobedience. It's interesting. Last verse of chapter 2, Adam and Eve, naked in the garden, and they knew no shame. picture of total joy and pleasure. Chapter 3, all of a sudden their nudity is a form, as a matter of shame and openness, or of shame about their nudity. Nudity isn't the issue. Do you know what the issue is? When you disobey God, something happens deep within yourself, and it always affects our relationships with others. Don't you ever say, it's just my life, it's just my thing, I'm just doing things, I don't mean to bother anything, it's just me. Don't you ever believe that? God didn't create us that way. We are created in society, and everything we do touches someone around us. Everything we do. Temptation? Well, that's their problem. I'm just being me. Tie that in with Jesus that talks about responsibility. Consequence, God expelled them from the Garden of Eden. They're banished. And there's a legacy. In Adam, we all died. Letter to the Romans, we have this description. You know the story of how Adam landed us in the dilemma we're in. First sin, then death, and no one exempt from either sin or death. That sin disturbed relations with God in everything and everyone. But the extent of the disturbance was not clear until God spelled out the detail to Moses. So death, this huge abyss separating us from God, dominated the landscape from Adam to Moses. Even those who didn't sin precisely as Adam did by disobeying a specific command of God still had to experience this termination of life, this separation from God. I submit to you, God was the tree of life in Eden. Alienated from him, they died. Oh, they were alive. Consequences. And because of that, every human being that enters life as a citizen of this world is born under the dominion of sin. Says the one prophet, we all left God's paths to follow our own way. Isaiah chapter 53. We're born with a nature that resists the lordship of God in our lives. And all the evil in the news is a product of that sinful nature, be it murder or gossip. Be it adultery, or attitudes we know are wrong. Story 2. Have to hurry on this one. Just summarize it, because I'm out of time. Jesus. Yeah, he came to this earth fully human, without sin, holy. Purpose to honor God, reveal God to the world, demonstrate God's design for us as human beings, provide salvation from sin, gift of eternal life. Oh, there are tests. There are several tests that are defined. One is the wilderness temptation, Matthew chapter 4, just to grab one. Three different temptations. The ultimate is this, says Satan to Jesus, just bow down and worship to me. I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Does that sound familiar? You won't surely die. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The tempter. Just because you're holy doesn't absolve you from temptation. Then ultimately, there's the crucifixion. Abandonment. Injustice, brutality, crucifixion tests. There are some choices. Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. In the wilderness, he says to Satan, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone will you worship." And one of the writers says, Satan left him for a time. In other words, he's coming back. He's persistent. But then there's that ultimate spot, Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus. Here it is. Are you ready? Submission. "Dear, dear Father, Papa, everything's possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but your will be done. Thy will be done." Total, complete submission. Jesus doesn't go into the trial and beatings with excitement. See the difference between Adam and Eve on one hand and Jesus on the other? Here's the difference. My will, thy will be done. The consequence? Jesus suffered hunger in the wilderness, death on a cross. That wasn't the end of the story. God raised Jesus to life and seated him at his right hand in heaven. God defeated Satan and provided the gift of eternal life. God made Jesus the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And the legacy? Full salvation. I don't have time to get into that today. You can read it for yourself. They're more packed away in those few verses than we can ever begin to unpack and look at. I'll just summarize it with this verse. Jesus suffered outside the city gates to make his people holy, to sanctify his people by means of his own blood. Two stories. What's the difference? Submission. I submit to you, we only submit one of two ways, either Satan or God. Me is submission to the temptation of Satan, or full surrender to God. Thy will be done. There it is. And so in closing today, I invite you to pray the prayer. Then Ben put it to music. Last week. Total submission to God. What do we do with these 8 resumes? Mike laid them out here. What do we do with those 8 resumes? We start by submitting ourselves. We submit them. Submit self to God. We're going to have different opinions. We're going to submit self to God first. Thy will be done. It's been a long test regarding children's school, but I'm starting to get excited about what God wants to do. But I also know some of you are dealing with some issues in your own lives, some tough questions, some real challenges. I know that. Submit yourself to God. Dare you. Jason, Lauren, lead us.
I couldn't remember the melody, and Lauren did, so sing with her. She's...